The United States Capitol Police is stronger and better prepared to carry out its mission today than it was before January 6th of last year.
Securing a grim anniversary on Capitol Hill. It's Thursday, January 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, COVID-19 hospital admissions in Australia on the rise. Criticism for Washington's lack of COVID-19 tests. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The first anniversary of the January 6th Capitol riots will be remembered in Washington today, beginning with remarks by U.S. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Members of the House will also hold a period of prayer and silence at noon to remember the 140 Capitol Hill police officers who suffered injuries in the melee. Ahead of today's anniversary, United States Capitol Police Chief Thomas Magin told reporters that the past year has brought additional security changes at the Capitol building and campus, from hardened doors and windows to daily intelligence blasts to each and every Capitol police officer.
The department began significant work immediately after the 6th to fix the failures that occurred. Intelligence failures, operational planning failures, leadership failures. The one thing that did not fail that day was the courage and resolve of the men and women of the United States Capitol Police. For the past year, our focus has been implementing improvements that would provide our officers with the resources that they need to fulfill their responsibilities safely and effectively.
Three police officers also filed lawsuits against former President Donald Trump Tuesday, alleging he aided and abetted the assaults against them. Trump had planned to hold a 5 p.m. press conference from his home in Florida, but canceled Tuesday evening. He will hold a rally later this month. More than 700 people in all have been arrested in last year's January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol. Supporters of protesters being held in a D.C. jail in connection with the attack will hold a candlelight vigil later today. And U.S. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Magin says his force will be watching.
There's no intelligence that indicates that that there would be any problems. There's one event that is occurring, I think, down at the D.C. jail that we're paying attention to. But again, really nothing that is of great concern to us at this point.
A year after supporters of former President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol in a bid to overturn Joe Biden's 2020 election victory, hundreds of people are still awaiting trial for their alleged role in the riot, while 155 others have pleaded guilty. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, the pending cases are just one part of the effort to hold responsible parties accountable for the attack.
1 year later, there are still questions about the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol and who was ultimately responsible for the worst attack on the seat of Congress in two centuries. Many of former President Trump's supporters claim the breach was not serious, while critics say Trump directed his supporters to overturn Joe Biden's election victory, effectively undermining the democratic process. Rioters roamed the halls of the Capitol building, raising security concerns for lawmakers and staffers who were preparing to certify Biden's election victory.
I'll never forgive former President of the United States and his lackeys and his bullies that he sent to the Capitol for the trauma that was exerted on our staff.
The U.S. House of Representatives moved swiftly to impeach Trump just days after the riot, alleging he was guilty of inciting the insurrection. But the U.S. Senate acquitted the former president of that charge in February 2021.
He is hereby acquitted.
Lawmakers have held numerous hearings on the security failures of that day. In late June, the U.S. House formed a special select committee to investigate the actions of then-President Trump. The panel has issued subpoenas to compel former White House officials and Trump campaign staff to testify about the president's actions that day and the days leading up to the attack.
Find Mark Randall Meadows in contempt of Congress.
The committee is expected to release a report on its investigation before the November 2022 midterm elections, but the findings are not legally binding. In the U.S. courts, 704 individuals have been charged at the federal level with offenses ranging from misdemeanor trespassing charges to more serious charges, including violence against law enforcement and members of the media. Researchers estimate about 70 to 80 individuals involved in militant networks face even more serious charges of conspiracy.
These are the hierarchical domestic violent extremist groups, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, some Three Percenters mixed in there, who are alleged to have not just gone to the Capitol to see the speech, to protest, to march, but with a concerted conspiracy ranging from the collection of funds, the dispersal of weapons, of marching up the steps of the Capitol in a stack formation, to leaving guns at a Virginia hotel.
Five people present at the January 6th riot died. The question still being debated is whether the chaos developed spontaneously or was part of a planned insurrection directed by the then president of the United States. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Hong Kong bans flights, imposes other COVID-19 restrictions. More than a dozen killed in Chinese construction site landslide. Man who crossed DMZ was previous defector from North Korea, South says. First Cambodian-American mayor in U.S. takes office. And suspected militant accused of beheadings killed in Indonesia. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. New coronavirus cases in Australia surged to record levels Wednesday, increasing the strain on hospitals and testing centers across the country. In Melbourne, the line outside one testing center extended for blocks. This is Jeroen Wymar, Victoria State COVID-19 Response Commander.
We need to continue to work together as a community. The public health measures we have around wearing masks indoors, around doing as much of our activity as possible outside, and just being careful about the interaction we have with people in closed spaces will help us to slow down the rapid rate of transmission we're seeing at this point in time.
The new numbers mean Australia has passed the grim milestone of 500,000 COVID-19 cases. From Sydney, VOA's Phil Mercer reports.
This is the first time that daily COVID-19 case numbers have exceeded 50,000 in Australia. The most populous state, New South Wales, recorded 35,000 new infections on Wednesday. Neighbouring Victoria reported 17,636 new cases, most are caused by the Omicron variant. Health authorities believe that case numbers will continue to increase in the weeks to come and will plateau in February. In Queensland, health officials warned that infections would surge, certainly into the hundreds of thousands. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk said in most of the cases, symptoms were mild and people were recovering very, very quickly. Testing clinics have been unable to cope with the huge demand for screening, and rapid antigen tests are in short supply. Hospitalizations are increasing in parts of Australia, but officials believe most patients in intensive care units have the Delta variant. Susan Pearce, Deputy Secretary of the New South Wales Health Department, says demands on the hospital system will grow.
We expect for the next several weeks that we will see that pressure. We also expect, though, that once it starts to decline, it will likely decline quite quickly. But we have got some challenging weeks ahead of us. Everything that can be done to support our staff will be done as we work through this. What we've demonstrated during the course of this pandemic now for 2 years is that our health system is capable of almost anything.
despite the surge. Theatres in Sydney and Melbourne are declaring on with the show and reopening. An international cricket match between Australia and England in Sydney attracted thousands of spectators. In total, about 550,000 COVID-19 infections have been diagnosed in Australia since the pandemic began. 2,282 people have died. Australia's political leaders have said that the country's best defence against rising coronavirus cases is high vaccination levels. More than 91% of the population over age 16 is fully inoculated. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
19 people from China's Uyghur Muslim ethnic group filed a criminal complaint with a Turkish prosecutor on Tuesday against Chinese officials, accusing them of committing genocide, torture, rape and crimes against humanity. Uyghur activist Medin Nazimi.
My sister, in 2017, by the Chinese government, taken away to my sister for the in concentration camps. Until now, I don't get any information about her. And I am also a Turkish citizen, and me and my sister is Turkish citizen, so I want my government to rescue my sister, because my sister is innocent.
China initially denied the camps existed, but has since said they are vocational centers and are designed to combat extremism. Still ahead on VOA Asia, criticism for a lack of COVID-19 tests across the United States. Happening now in Asia, a landslide at a construction site in southwestern China has killed at least 14 people and injured three others. Official reports say the cause of the landslide on Monday evening is under investigation. Workers were building a training facility for a hospital. More than 1,000 people joined the overnight rescue effort. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've joined us here on VOA Asia. President Joe Biden addressed the American public on Tuesday on his administration's response to the Omicron variant as COVID-19 cases in the U.S. continue surging to record levels following the holidays. From Washington, VOA's Patsy Wuticoswara reports.
Residents of Washington, D.C. turned out for a snowball fight earlier this week, a sign of normalcy in a winter marked by soaring COVID-19 cases in the United States yet again. Fueled by the Omicron variant, on Monday, the nation's coronavirus cases reached a world record of 1 million detected in 24 hours, according to a report by the Johns Hopkins University.
Today, I'm directing my team to work with Pfizer to double our order from 10 million to 20 million treatment courses to be delivered in the months ahead.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden outlined his administration strategy to address Omicron. In addition to buying more Pfizer COVID-19 pills, he promised to make booster shots and testing more widely available. With Americans having to wait in long lines to get tested, Biden has been blamed for delays and shortages. His administration has not given details on the distribution of the promised half a billion free at-home test kits. Testing is considered key to limit Omicron spread and reduce hospitalization.
We can't do very much about inhibiting the spread of this extraordinarily contagious virus. And if it only produces mild disease, we could, if you will, quote, tolerate that while we try to continue to prevent these hospitalizations.
More evidence is emerging that Omicron causes milder symptoms than previous variants, in some places resulting in lower death rates despite soaring case numbers.
We are seeing more and more studies pointing out that Omicron is infecting the upper part of the body, unlike other ones, the lung, who has been causing severe pneumonia. It can be a good news, but we really require more studies to prove that.
The U.S. has donated more than 315 million vaccine doses globally, while pledging a total of 1.2 billion doses. Yet some health experts say wealthy nations are not doing enough to vaccinate the world and prevent the emergence of new variants.
Until we redouble our commitment to vaccinate the African continent, Southeast Asia, and Latin America, we're always going to have this problem. And that's what has to be prioritized. And so far, neither the U.S. government or the G7 countries have really made that commitment.
On Monday, U.S. health authorities approved Pfizer's booster shot for children as young as 12, with a final approval expected in the coming days. Patsy Wuticoswara, VOA News.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.